Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Around October 23rd, I realized that the Department of Water Supply had not done an update on the water well situation in North Kona since October 3rd. On October 24th, I sent Keith Okamoto, head of DWS, a note to ask that we do an interview or at least an update for Hawaii Public Radio. And I asked why there'd been no update since October 3rd, because they've been really good about issuing press releases and also about updating their website on a daily basis as to the status of the wells. That had not been done since October 3rd. Well, finally, on October 31st, we got a press release that noted that two wells had gone down in early October, two additional wells, and Keith agreed to sit down and talk with me. We did that talk last Thursday. That's what we'll listen to this morning. And you may hear Island Issues every Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then they're posted as a podcast to lava1053.com and to koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. And you may have been expecting to hear the Alakahakai Trail update today, but we've postponed that till next Sunday. Now, here's my conversation with Keith Okamoto, recorded Thursday at Sheraton Kona, thanks to manager Matt Grousso for loaning us his conference room. Good morning, aloha, Keith. Thanks for talking to us.
Good morning, Sherry.
Okay, Keith, as we record this on Thursday, November 2nd, we're sitting at the Sheraton Kona, and you are at the Hawaii Water Works Association's conference and exposition. What is this event all about?
Well, this is an event that happens yearly, and we typically rotate it amongst the four counties. So this is our year to host. We're co-hosting with HRWA, which is the Hawaii Rural Water Association. Basically, it's a water and wastewater type conference where we have an opportunity to get together, share information, and get educated on water and wastewater topics.
Well, it sounds very timely because clearly Hawaii County Department of Water Supply has had a few issues here and there, and the first thing I want to talk about is an update on North Kona. And just to clarify, as I understand it, the North Kona area has about 13 wells, roughly between Toshima's and Makalei Fire Station and Kona Airport, that area of land. And of those 13 wells, five of the higher level, better quality wells have been problems for about a year now. So I believe the first wells failed during mid or fall 2016. And so first thing is, let's talk about the wells that we know have been a problem. I think the first one is maybe good news, Polani well. Tell us what the capacity is and what the status is.
Okay, so Polani well is over 1,000 gallons per minute in capacity, and the status is it's currently operational. We've been monitoring all the wells up there, you know, continually, and that one is showing good signs. We're comfortable, it's operating stably, so we're very appreciative of having Polani well back online.
And that came back around the 3rd of October, or a little bit before?
Correct, approximately around the 3rd of October.
Did you ever figure out what the problem was that made the Polani well go down?
Not specifically. We have our hunches that it may have been attributed to some kind of connection that was submerged that might have allowed water to hit the electrical conductors, but that's just a suspicion. We don't know that 100%. But at this point, it appears that what we have installed, we don't see any indications that we're experiencing any of the other problems that are causing some of our other wells to go down. So again, we're happy that it's running fine.
Okay, Hualalai well, that went down. It was fixed around October 3rd, but it went down again. So first of all, tell us the capacity and then what the status is today, November 2nd.
Okay, Hualalai well, I believe that one is also typically our GPM is over 1,000 GPM. That one has posed some challenges for us. And yeah, that one was very disappointing because on that well repair, we added additional third-party reviews of the topside components. A company came in from the mainland to review our settings on the electrical equipment in the control building. Everything was gone through. We checked from the transformer through the wire going down the hole, and everything appeared to be okay, and it was actually functioning for a few days, which gave us a level of comfort. And then shortly after we issued the press release that we had both Hualalai and Polani back up, that one went down. So very frustrating. That one we still don't know the cause of failure. It's another one where we have to send the motor back because it was determined to be a motor failure. So we need to send the motor back and see what happened to it. And then even with that, that may not tell us what the root cause of that failure is. But very frustrating, very frustrating.
Do you have a time frame on bringing Hualalai back online?
Not a set time frame right now. We're trying to focus our efforts on getting Keopu back online because that one we're still awaiting for the motor and the pump to arrive. Its contract completion date is December 20th, and that's another one we're continuing to work with the suppliers and the manufacturers to see if there's any way they can expedite the shipment of the pump and motor so we can get that up and running ahead of schedule. In the meantime, we'll continue to evaluate Hualalai. QLT, we already put out and awarded a bid for a replacement pump and motor set. So I don't know the exact time frames. I don't think that order has specifically been placed with the manufacturer yet, but that's another one we're going to follow up and see if we can expedite the turnaround and get that repaired sooner than later.
So the last thing you just talked about, is that Hualalai or Keopu?
Oh, that last one I talked about is QLT, otherwise known as Keahu'olu. That was the other one that went down about second week of October, 2 weeks ago, around there.
And we don't know why that one went down.
That one also. So this one, we're spending a bit more time. We haven't pulled it out of the hole yet. We're trying to make sure that we've gone through every topside equipment. We've even swapped out the transformer. And we're trying to see if we can find a smaller motor that we can run a small load test through the starter equipment. Is supposed to help us confirm whether or not the problem is down in the hole or if it could be a problem in the topside equipment.
Okay, we've gone through Polani working well, Hualalai not working, and you don't have an estimated time on fix. We've talked about Keahu'olu, which you are working on. It was fixed, it got broken again, and we don't know a time frame on that one either. And then Keopu is due in December, but you're trying to get that faster. Did you find out what the problem with Keopu well was?
No, actually, I think Keopu was operating. This is their first repair.
Oh.
So it was operating for longer than some of our others. So we were actually quite pleased with Keopu. So I think that was just a matter of it met its lifespan. I guess one thing I do want to emphasize is that throughout this, with the community's continued efforts, and we learned a lot throughout this process, a lot of what our system is capable of doing, what our personnel are capable of doing in managing the system. So we're very comfortable with the wells that we have now. We have 9 of the 13 sources in Kona operating. And so we're very comfortable that there is no imminent signs that people will be short of water. So again, we do appreciate the community's efforts in that. That's a point I wanted to make, I guess.
Waiaha well, that's the well that was broken and then it was under repair and there was sort of, I won't call it a tragedy exactly, but an accident. The equipment fell down in the hole during the repair. Is that well gone forever or is that well able to be restored?
We still remain hopeful that it's going to be able to be restored, although to be honest, we haven't put much effort into that quite as of yet because we're still trying to get the ones that have a manageable time frame of actual repair done first. Because at this point, Waiaha will take an effort that really we can't tell how long it's going to take or what kind of challenges we may be faced with that effort. So right now, we're going to try and concentrate on getting the ones that we can fix fixed. And then we're going to turn our attention back to Waiaha when we clear that hurdle.
Well, in the Waiaha case, the equipment is all down in the hole. I mean, is it even possible to get that massive amount of equipment up from a deep hole, or is it better just to start over and dig a new well?
Yeah, we're going to make every effort to try and get that equipment out of the hole. Some of these drillers get real resourceful in coming up with special tools to extract the equipment, because this is not the first time this has happened to us or other utilities. And a lot of times these folks manage to get it out somehow. It may not come out all in one piece, but really we're trying to salvage the hole because to drill a new hole will take a lot of effort, a lot of additional engineering. Possibly, if our site is not adequate in size enough, if land acquisition is required, that will also, take quite a bit of time. So we're going to try everything we can to actually salvage that well.
I believe one of your larger wells is the Honokahau well. Mm-hmm. Tell us how large it is and what the status is of Honokahau.
So that one, we're also pleased because that one is up and running. That one is a 1,400 GPM capacity well. And on Honokahau, we have additional sensors. We have thermal sensors in the motor. So we're able to monitor the internal temperature of the motor. And the feedback we're getting from that and in communication with the motor manufacturer is that we're in a good, comfortable operating temperature range. All the other signs, topside of, you know, our power quality and things like that are also being monitored. So again, that one we have a good feeling about. I don't want to curse myself anymore at this point, but it's been operating very, very well for us.
Are there any other West Side or North Kona wells that are problems at this moment?
No, really at this point, the only ones that have proven to be a challenge is these high-level, deep-set submersibles. So another thing we wanted to mention is with Hualalai down, we are going to conduct a plumbness alignment test. What we want to see is how straight this well is. This is our shallowest high-level well, and if there is any chance we could do a line shaft, and that's the situation where the motor is at the surface, a long line shaft extends from the surface motor down to the pump that's in the water. So application typically does not go beyond 1,000 feet depth, but we're at this point with Hualalai is, you know, we're trying to think out of the box. We're trying to see what other options may be possible so we can do something different and hopefully get a better life span out of what we install at Hualalai.
How deep is Hualalai?
That one is approximately 1,500 feet, which is the shallowest of those seven.
Wow. I mean, that is, you know, at this conference this morning, as I was on my way to meet you, I was chatting with some guys from Maui, and they do have high-level wells, but it doesn't sound like their high-level wells are quite as deep as our high-level wells, which was interesting to me.
Yeah, there's not many as deep as we have, and if they are, they're lower capacity, because we do have some other private utilities on the island with 1,400-foot depths, and I think Waikiki Ranch is even deeper, but they typically have lower capacities. So that's another thing we're looking at, too, is if maybe we can decrease the size, the capacity, and maybe get longer lifespan out of a pump and motor that is maybe not under the same level of stress as these high horsepower, high capacity units.
Around the island, are there other areas where well failures like this have been a problem? Or is this just limited to North Kona?
In my recollection, really, this is limited to North Kona and only North Kona in the past year or so. We've always had wells go down, you know, due to whatever reasons, but not the order of magnitude that we've seen recently in Kona. So across the other systems around the island, we do have well failures, but a lot more manageable. Other applications, line shaft, where it's easier to replace the motor that is topside. But yeah, basically only in Kona are we seeing the types of challenges that we see now.
So what is your team doing? What is the water board doing to look at the long-term picture to prevent these kind of failures? Because that's really what we need to do is look forward to how this does not happen all the time.
Exactly. So we do want to assure the public that we're not sitting idle and taking this lightly. So the board has created a task force. I think they call it a permitted interaction group, where they're trying to meet with other private entities to see if there's anything that we may be missing or any suggestions that we could obtain from private entities that maybe we haven't thought about yet. What we're doing internal to the department is, you know, we're adding monitoring equipment to verify, to give us data that, you know, at least can provide us some history of power quality and see if there's any correlation between that and failure events. We're looking at better standardizations of future wells. We're setting up a minimum diameter casing size and a maximum horsepower GPM size so that we can have more redundancy in spare inventory, as well as hopefully more access to, I guess, available parts like pumps and motors from more manufacturers. And we're also looking at, again, going to lower capacity type units and hopefully getting longer lifespans out of those units as well. It's a continuous process, and we're going to continue to troubleshoot and get better and more data and see if there's things that historically we haven't seen before that might be attributing to some of these failures.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. You may hear us on Hawaii Island on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM, or you may listen to the podcast of this or previous Island Issues interviews at lava1053.com or at KoaCountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Next week, we're going to talk about the Alakahakai Trail, an ancient trail that runs around the island. And that was supposed to be today, but I had the opportunity to talk with Keith Okamoto, who is our guest today. He's head of Hawaii County Department of Water Supply. And it was a big surprise at the end of October to discover that additional wells in North Kona had gone down without any press release nor update on the DWS website, and I'll be asking Keith in a little bit about the lack of communication. But first, I have more questions about this permitted interaction group. Let's get back to my talk story with Keith Okamoto, which we recorded at Sheraton Kona last Thursday, November 2nd. This permitted interaction group, I find the acronym PIG to be quite interesting, but this permitted interaction group was something that was established by the Water Board after a special meeting they held in Kona probably 6 weeks ago, I'm guessing. So the question is, how many people are on it? What's their backgrounds like generally? And what are they actually tasked with that may be different from what your team is doing?
So this group, I think, was formed by that September 13th special board meeting. This was an initiative by our Water Board. There's four members of the Water Board and maybe about a handful of private entities, but it's not a set group from what I understand. So we've met twice. Basically, they're trying to hear what our situation is, provide input. There's an electrical engineer. There's other people representing other private utilities. You know, I'm really not comfortable with specifically identifying who they are unless, you know, they've giving me the okay to release that information. But what we do want to express is, you know, they're volunteering their time, you know, away from their work to try and help us out with this situation. So we're very appreciative, you know, for their input, the sharing of knowledge. From my perspective, the interesting thing to note is that, of course, we have a lot more in common than we do different. They have similar challenges, maybe not of the same magnitude as us, but, you know, some of them do things a little different, but it's typically to accomplish the same goal, you know, check monitoring of data, double check power quality from incoming utility and across our control building, making sure that what goes down the hole is checked as it's going down rather than just once at the beginning, once at the end kind of thing.
When you say check what's going down the hole, what do you mean exactly?
Well, basically, standard practice that our contractors do is they test the cable as it's going down. So it's called a mega test. So as you're installing the pump and motor, I guess there's chances where the power cable, you know, could get abraded or whatever, which might impact the insulation on the outside of that power cable. So they run a test to make sure that the continuity of that power cable stays intact as the thing is going down the hole. So not send it all the way down and didn't do the check at the end and find out you might have had a problem as you're going down. Things like that. It's just good practice for these well repairs that our contractors have been doing for many years and continue to do. But it's good to hear that you know, other folks have the same practices with their situations as well.
Who actually does the day-to-day work on our Hawaii County water wells? Is it people from your staff or contractors, or who exactly?
So the day-to-day typically is our staff. We have a staff of electricians and operators that check the well sites daily, whether it be for, you know, chlorine feed or checking flow rates, checking to see if there are any trip events, anything like that. So that's primarily DWS staff. And then when it comes to well repairs, we have our mechanical engineers. We have three that manage the well repair projects.
But you also use outside contractors. I know that you've told me, I believe in the past, there's two on the island. What's the role of the contractors to the Department of Water Supply?
Yeah, the role of the contractors is basically to repair the well, which means pulling out the one that's out of service and reinstalling a new pump and motor set. And, you know, oftentimes lately it's including not only a new pump and motor, but pipe columns or couplings or cable or all these little appurtenant pieces of equipment that go along with running a well. So they're responsible to acquire and purchase all those equipments and materials and to install them in a manner that's certified and acceptable to that actual pump and motor manufacturer. So these guys have been in business for a long time. They have certifications from the various pump and motor manufacturers as needed. Basically, we need their equipment and their expertise to install it properly. So that's the other reason for frustration, because we do know that they know what they're doing. And, you know, we're out there inspecting the install. We're out there inspecting the equipment and material that is part of the install. And, you know, we don't send anything down unless it looks like it's supposed to work. That's obvious point number one, right? If it doesn't look like it's going to work, we're not going to put it down the hole. So, again, that's contributing to the scratch-your-head frustration where everything looks good, it goes down the hole, and sometimes even starts up like Hualalai and runs for a couple of days just fine, and then it goes down. So we're still going to continue to monitor. Still, we're going to figure this out. I'm confident we will figure this out, and we'll be back in a situation where back to normal, so to speak.
You mentioned that the Honokahau well had some special thermal monitoring equipment. Why do all the wells not have full monitoring? Is it a money matter or what?
So that was a more recent decision to install, and not every application is able to do that, and not every motor manufacturer was able to do that. So I think in the past, we didn't see that as a need. It was more of a possible luxury that we thought in the past, but at this point, we see it more as a need, and wherever we think we can utilize that type of additional monitoring, we're going to put it in wherever we can. Because that, from what I understand, is heat is one of the major factors in leading to a failure of a motor. The problem is heat in a motor can be caused by different root causes. But if we at least monitor the temperature of the motor, hopefully we can have an advanced warning when the motor's starting to heat up, whereas we didn't have that ability in the past.
I'd like to talk about communication. You used to put essentially daily updates on your website with a detailed status of every single well, and it was really good. Your last official press release was on October 3rd, at which time you said the Palani and Hualalai wells were back. You reduced the severe water restriction notice to a request that people cut back 25%. So the first question is, why did you not issue an update when two additional wells failed shortly after October 3rd?
So, yeah, that was a decision made with, of course, I don't make these major decisions in a vacuum. It's getting the information, discussing it internally. And basically, that was a decision made because we're very comfortable. Throughout this whole process, we got to understand our water system a lot better and its capabilities, our capabilities of our staff and our personnel to manage the water system and move water around in the system as needed. What we knew is we were very comfortable with, even after the wells went down in the first and second week in October, by monitoring the tank levels three times a day, by discussing with staff, is that, you know, we're very comfortable that the situation was stable and that there wasn't any adverse impact expected to the public, such as, you know, a water outage or things like that. So our thought at the time was, you know, a press release was not needed when the two wells went down because the situation of the system was stable and it was still a 25% restriction, which was what we put out on October 3rd, which was downgraded from the emergency restriction where we asked folks to stop irrigation and things like that, was still applicable. The reason I think we were more day-to-day updates or more frequent updates during the emergency water restriction was because that was a much higher level of concern, which is why we called it an emergency water restriction. We tried to ask people to limit their usage to really health and sanitary needs. So thus we felt it's a different situation now with a regular 25% reduction or restriction calling for a 25% reduction than the emergency water restriction. So we actually thought that the system was stable. We're confident that Honokahau was coming on anytime soon, right after Keahu'olu went down, which is our 1400 GPM high capacity. Really, at that time, it was close to running already. And basically, we're making sure that the disinfection procedures was going through and coming out clean. So we're very comfortable that the system was stable, which is why we didn't feel the need to issue a press release the second week of October when Kiahu'olu went down.
The timing of that was very close to the Ironman Triathlon World Championship, and a lot of people on the island had been expressing concern that that would put strain on the water system. Did the proximity to Ironman impact your decision to not issue a release as you had done with every single well change for the past 10 months?
No, it really didn't. But what we did was we made sure we monitored the tank levels every day, three times a day, because we knew, you know, the event was on the 14th, but we knew that the uptick in the people in the area started before that. So again, you know, we knew that the water tank levels were stable throughout that week going into Ironman. We're very confident, again, going through the weekend, we're monitoring the tank levels three times a day throughout the weekend, and they all remain stable throughout Ironman, the week prior. So again, that all fed into the decision that, you know, we're comfortable, our system is operating fine, the tank levels are fine, you know, we're okay, we have enough for fire protection, we have enough for everybody's needs. So again, all that fed into the decision to not provide an update after the Kiahu'olu well went down.
As I said, you were in the past doing really daily events on the website, whether or not you issued a press release, and those events have completely disappeared from your website. Why are they no longer there?
No special intended purpose. Again, it's, if there's a change in the situation that we feel could cause impact to the public or the community or our customers, we definitely will be adding information to, you know, the press as well as our website.
I'd like to ask you about Mayor Harry Kim's role in the communication. Some say he told you not to go public. I've heard that. Is that true?
No, that is definitely not true. So the decision to not issue a press release was all the Department of Water Supply's decision. And basically, we felt that it was not necessary to do a press release and might even actually cause unnecessary anxiety, you know, because, you know, granted, two more wells went down during this course, but really, people still, at the end of the day, you know, were able to continue to provide water. Again, our tank levels didn't show any signs of adverse impact to the community and our customers. So again, we feel very comfortable that a press release was not necessary.
I have to say, Keith, I think you guys have been extremely open since January when you first started issuing releases, but not issuing anything between October 3rd and October 31st, I believe, has probably led to a lack of trust from the Big Island community. So what do you do now to reestablish trust with the Big Island community about openness of communications?
That's a tough question. You know, we continue to try and be as open as possible. I guess moving forward, if the need again is there that, you know, the community needs to be informed, we'll definitely issue press releases and things like that. Yeah, so, you know, the public trust is very important to us. And, you know, I apologize if any of our actions have decreased that. You know, our primary mission really is to provide safe, potable drinking water, continuous supply at a reasonable cost. And we, you know, remain committed to that. You know, I guess we feel that that's really our main purpose. And if you open your tap, water comes out, you have no doubt that you can put it in a cup and drink it. And when your water bill comes, it's, you know, still relatively fair compared to, you know, some of your other bills. That's really our mission. We try to be as best as we can about communication and openness. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to try and be better. If there's a legitimate concern from any of the community, feel free to contact our office at any time, and we'll provide you information at your request. It can be about a specific pump or motor rather than the overall situation, and we'll give that information freely. We won't hold anything back if somebody asks. But a press release notifying the whole general public, that's something, decision was made by me where, because it goes out to everybody, then it really needs to have an impact to everybody. So again, we apologize if there's any decrease in the public trust. We're here to serve you fresh potable water, and we're going to continue to do that.
Keith, you mentioned you'd like to provide water at a reasonable cost. I think that the North Kona situation has actually happened at a relatively opportune time because the rainy season in North Kona usually is May, June, July, August, maybe extending into September, but it's actually extended way longer, and we've had a lot of rain. So a lot of people have actually not had to use their irrigation and have been able to fairly easily cut back. Now, I know for myself personally, because of cutting back between that and between your asking us to cut back, my personal water bill is quite a bit lower than it was. So, money. Is the Department of Water Supply seeing a decrease in your revenues? And how much of a problem is that going to be? Are you going to have to raise rates to compensate? What's your thinking at this point?
Yeah, so it's a little bit premature to talk about water rates, but we have seen a decline in the revenues. So we're attributing that to partially the Kona water situation as well as a decrease in power costs. So those are the two things that we take a look at, and that's how we adjust. What we can adjust is the portion of the water bill that relates to power, and that can be done through board action. You know, it could be done every 2 months or so, whenever an evaluation is conducted. But overall, we don't think that this current situation will impact water rates. We do have some cushion in our funds. And again, we do budget annually for well repairs. It's again, just that we're using it all up in Kona for this past year. So, you know, we're in a good spot financially. There's no concerns financially as far as the situation in Kona impacting the water rates at this time.
Keith Okamoto, is there anything else you'd like to add before we say aloha?
No, again, I want to thank the community. And I know Sherry, she mentioned her own personal use. So I know what her water bill looked like and what it looks like now. And she is a champion of North Kona and a true champion of finding a way to reduce her water. So thank you for being a prime example, Sherry, because that was actually amazing to see what you were able to do. So again, thank you. And thank you for the community's efforts in all of this, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith, for talking with us. Aloha.
Aloha. Thanks, Sherry.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being here. Without you, there is no Island Issues. And I'd also like to note, North Kona has had a little more than usual rain this year, so it's been fairly easy to have the irrigation off. So I can't take a lot of personal credit for reducing water usage. But water conservation is not something we may have thought about before, but we surely should think about it now. There's no problem with the amount of water in the ground. There's 150 million gallons of water in the Keoho Aquifer, which is under North Kona, according to the State Commission on Water. But nevertheless, we should definitely try to conserve always. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning when we will talk about the Alakahakai Trail. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.